You are loved. You are loved by the very hands that painted the stars and set the planets into motion. You are not a coincidence. He chose you to exist in this very moment. You are not a drop of water in the ocean. You are seen, and you are loved. You were handpicked by the King of Kings. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He is your father, and you are his child. He delights at the opportunity of talking with you. No height or depth can separate you from the love of God. His love is endless, like the depths of the seas. It's a love that stands firm when you are at your lowest. His love is full of grace and compassion. You are loved without conditions. You are deeply cherished and loved by the one who created you. Take in the peace, knowing that you are a loved child of the King. Let that love guide you, empower you, and fill your heart with joy. His love has no beginning and no end. The love of God will always be. You are and have always been dearly loved.
So we are finishing up the school year for our normal time at Worship Uncoiled tonight. Next week, we won't have Worship Uncoiled because it's Mother's Day, and the week after that is our Worship Uncoiled finale. So this is the last time you have to hear me speak for like 3 months. But we're finishing up our series tonight called Remember This. And I always try to finish a school year just with this idea that when you walk out of these doors, whether you are walking out for the summer and you're going to be back in here next year, or whether you're walking on to a new phase in your life, when you walk out of these doors, there are some things that if I could just have you remember these things, that would be incredible. And so the things that I want you to remember, last week we talked about this idea that you are loved, like really, really, really loved. And it's not this conditional love that the earth gives us, it's an unconditional love poured out by God. And we can live that and we can know that you are and I am, and we are really, really loved. And last week I finished the lesson talking a little bit, I just barely hit on this, a little bit about how you have a purpose and how Paul ends his prayer to the Ephesians, and he says that God is able to do more than we could ask or imagine when he works through us, and that you have a purpose. And so that's where I want to head tonight. What is your purpose? How do you live out your purpose? Because at the heart of who we are, there are two things that are true about us. One, we are loved. And two, we were put on this earth for a purpose. And we serve a purpose on this earth. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what gender we are. It doesn't matter what race we are. It doesn't matter what we've done in our past. It doesn't matter what we've done in our future. The truth of the matter is that God looks at you and he looks at me and he says, man, I want to do great things through you. I want to do incredible, amazing things through you. Our family this year is not planting a huge garden, but we are going to put out a few plants this year. And we planted a few plants earlier this week that we are we're excited about. But I brought with me tonight a cherry tomato seed. All right, you can barely see it. It's right there. Now, here's the thing I love about cherry tomatoes. First of all, I love just picking them off the vine and eating them. I love that our kids love to go out and just pick them off the vine and eat them. There's nothing better than going out on a warm summer day and finding the perfect cherry tomato and just popping the whole thing in your mouth and just the flavor. It's just absolutely awesome. But I brought this cherry tomato seed with me tonight because I wanted to talk about this. This little seed right here, you can barely see it. But if you were to put this seed in the ground, and it wasn't covered in tape like it is right now, if you were to put this seed in the ground, a few things would start to happen. this seed would do what seeds do. It's just what would naturally happen. The seed would do what seeds do. As it got water and nutrients from the soil, it would begin to shoot out roots, and it would begin to shoot out a stem, and it would begin to grow. But here's the thing about this seed. The impact that this seed would make would be far greater and far more than this little seed could ever imagine. The impact that this little seed will make will happen long after this seed is completely gone. By the time a plant gets to this size right here, this seed is gone. It's dead. It's no more. The seed is done. Matter of fact, when plants are about as tall as where this first line of leaves comes out, if you look at tomato plants when they are just that tall, sometimes their first set of leaves are folded together like this. And at the very, very top of the first set of leaves, you can see just the last remaining bits of the shell of the seed. And as those leaves pop open, the shell falls to the ground, blows away, and the seed is no more. Now, this little seed would never imagine that just by doing what seeds do, it can grow a tomato plant that is 8 to 10 feet tall. If you stake a tomato plant right, and you prune it correctly, and you have these giant stakes in the ground, tomato plants can grow 8, 10, 12 feet tall. It's absolutely incredible. Tomato plants, this little seed right here, will produce hundreds and possibly thousands of cherry tomatoes. This little seed right here, just by doing what seeds do, it will create an impact that is far greater than it could ever imagine. Because by the time this seed is done existing as a seed, it has produced some roots, a stem, and some leaves about 1.5 inches tall. But its impact is far beyond what it could ever imagine. I want to go back to where we ended last week. I want to go back to this verse in Ephesians, because Paul ends his prayer at Ephesians, but he connects it to something he said earlier in Ephesians that I think is really important that we make this connection. Ephesians 3:20, where we ended it last week, says this: "Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us." As he works within us and through us, he is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. Now, in the early century, when this letter was first written, the way that it would have been given to the churches, the way that people would have absorbed this letter, for lack of a better term, is this. This letter would have been carried to a church, and the church would have all gathered together, and someone would have volunteered to just read the letter out loud. So Ephesians, from the beginning all the way to the end, they would have sat down and they would have read the entire book, which would have been a letter. They would have read the entire thing. So when the Ephesians hear, "Glory to God who is able to do far beyond all we could ask or imagine," they would have connected that with something Paul said earlier, which is beautiful. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "Instead, we are God's accomplishment." Sometimes it's translated workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus to do good things." God planned for these things to be the way that we live our lives. God planned for these things to be the way that we live our lives. And so I love what Paul does here. He says in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "Listen, you are God's accomplishment. God is accomplishing something through you. He has created you for a purpose to go out and do these incredible things. You are his accomplishment, and you are going to go, and he's already got plans in place and people that you are going to cross paths with and people that you are going to impact and love along the way that you do your life." And when you put these two verses together, it really, really shines through the power of the purpose that we serve on this earth. We are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be done in the way we live our lives. And so glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Putting those things together, God has a purpose for each of us. And when he's working that purpose in each of us, he's able to do far beyond what we could ask or imagine. Far beyond anything that in our small existence of 70 to 100 years on this earth could ever comprehend. Just by serving our purpose. And just like this tomato seed can do more than it ever thought possible, just by doing what seeds do, you were created for a purpose. And you can do incredible, incredible things. And here's the cool part. You know how you do those things? You know how you live your purpose? Just being you. See, a lot of times I think we have to go out, and I think we feel like we have to go out and we have to say, all right, you know, I got to do something that's like way out of my comfort zone. I got to go out. I got to make some big ripples on this earth. I've got to make some big changes. I've got to impact people in some big ways. I've got to go and I've got to do all this stuff that is outside of my comfort zone. And God is sitting there saying, no, listen, here's the deal. I created you to do what you do. I created you with some specific skills, some specific talents, some specific gifts for you to go and do those things and do them well and to serve your purpose well. And here's the cool thing is that when you do what you do and you do it well and you start to love people with the love of Jesus along the way, man, your impact becomes massive. So incredibly massive. And it's not by going out and being this massive influencer. It's just by being you. And in that way, you are an influencer that is greater than anything that you could ask or imagine. So the question becomes, how do we live our purpose? What is our purpose? And one of the questions that I like to ask often when I'm thinking about my own life is, what did Jesus say about this? Like, what were some things that specifically Jesus on earth said? And so we're going to jump into the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, Jesus gives this incredible idea of what our purpose looks like on this earth. In this chapter, the religious leaders are actually trying to trap Jesus. And so they come to him and they ask him a question. And they're like, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And at the core of this question, they are simply asking Jesus, what's the most important thing? When at the end of the day, when we look at our purpose, our life goal, the thing that we are going to strive to do the most and the best that we possibly can, what is that one thing that we can do? Now, they were trying to trick Jesus and have him say something where they could be like, oh, Jesus, what about this? But Jesus answers this question perfectly. And he's so incredible in the way that he answers it and the way that he describes our purpose. He says this. One of them asked, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And he replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. I love the way that Jesus describes our purpose. When we start to ask, what is our purpose? Jesus would say, your purpose is not so much about what you do. Your purpose is about who you love while you do what you do. Your purpose on this earth is not so much about what you do. Your purpose is about who you love while you do what you do. While you are the person that God created you to be. And while you do the things that you do, and you love the people that are around you, while you do the things that you do, you are serving God's purpose. It's not about going out and doing these big, massive things. It's about doing the things that we already love. And along the way, loving people. I love the way that Jesus says this. Man, if I could spend the rest of my life doing this, loving God, loving others, and loving myself, and I'm just me, and I can go and do the things that God has already given me to do, and I can love people along the way, man, that at its core is our purpose. See, so often I think when we think about our purpose, we think, all right, what do I got to do? What do I got to do to serve my purpose? And Jesus says, love. Love me. Love others. Love yourself. If you can do that, you do whatever I've given you to do. You do whatever you love to do. You do whatever you're talented at. And if you're loving me, loving others, and loving yourself, you're serving your purpose. And then I'm going to take you serving your purpose, and I'm going to multiply it. And at the end of your life, when you get to heaven, you're going to realize, holy cow, it was so much bigger and greater and more massive than anything I ever thought. It was this incredible thing that God was doing, and I thought I was just being me. Your purpose is less about what you do and more about who you love while you do what you do. See, we've complicated the process. We've tried to figure out what we have to do to serve our purpose. And Jesus says it's not so much about what you do. It's about who you love along the way. And you just do whatever it is that you do. Use your talents. Use your gifts. Do the things you love. Be yourself. And when your life is over, and just like this seed's life is over, about two leaves into the tomato plant, you're going to look back and you're going to see, yeah, I put down some roots. I shot up a stem. I put out a couple leaves. And when you get to heaven, God's going to look at you and he's going to say, listen, you thought you were just being you. Let me show you what just being you did. You didn't just put down roots and shoot up a stem and shoot out a couple of leaves. No, you created this massive 10 to 12 foot tall plant that made hundreds, possibly thousands of other tomatoes. Your impact was felt far beyond what you ever realized you were doing. That was just by being you and doing what I created you to do. Your talents and the things that you love. Just by loving people as you do that, your impact was massive. Guys, at the end of the day, when you walk out of here this summer, man, if I could get you to remember, if I could just be me and along the way I could love God, love others, and love myself, man, I can make a huge impact. And so tonight, the practical challenge is actually a challenge for the whole summer. If you want, you don't have to, as usual with our challenges, you can take home a tomato plant and you can plant it in your yard and you can watch it grow. And as it grows, you can remember the seed that created this plant was gone a long time ago, but its impact is continuing far beyond what that seed ever imagined. And I can do the same thing. Just by being me and loving God and loving others and loving myself. So at some point tonight, if you'd like to take home a tomato plant, just as a reminder throughout the summer that, man, you're loved. God created you for this incredible purpose. And you can serve that purpose by going out and doing the things that God created you to do just by being you. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for creating us for a purpose.